Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin.
Well, today we're going to jump back into Ephesians for day 8 in our study. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 today. I've titled this lesson, The Only Call That Matters. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now here we have confirmation that Paul was writing this letter from his captivity under house arrest. It is in this situation of being a prisoner, being housebound, suffering privation and lack of freedom to do anything or go anywhere, that Paul urges those in Ephesus to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that they have been given from God, to walk in faith and bring glory to Him. Paul is explaining how to apply the truths that he has been teaching them in their daily lives. So, how does he encourage them to walk? He encourages them to walk with humility, not considering themselves to be above anyone else. To walk with gentleness, rebuking and correcting each other without acrimony, and encouraging each other as well. To walk with patience, persevering to the end with grace. To walk bearing with one another in love, demonstrating the same love that Christ showed for us as we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. To walk with eagerness to maintain the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. To be eager to maintain that which has been started, working together as a body instead of working as individuals. The pagan culture of Paul's day, remember the temple of Artemis that is in Ephesus? Well, they did not consider humility an admirable quality. Indeed, they considered it a sign of weakness. So Paul, starting this list with humility, reminds them that God's ways are not the same as the world around them. Peace is a bond that unites believers. Believers do not create this unity artificially. They just preserve what has been established by God. Seriously, no human being could ever effect peace on his or her own efforts. Somewhere, our own agenda is in the way and will eventually cause strife. But God can establish peace, and He's the only one who can. Paul focuses in on the unity they are to be striving for here, emphasizing there is only one body of believers in Christ and one Spirit. We are all called to the one hope of eternal life with God, and that goes with the call we have received. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, and God the Father is over all and through all and in all. Just as a human has one Spirit that gives it life, the body of Christ has one Spirit as well. I have to say, our culture has a lot in common with that of Paul's day. Humility isn't considered to be a great thing. We hear from those around us that we need to put ourselves forward because no one else will do it for us. That we need to make sure that we are heard or seen so that we can get what we want. And especially in our world, patience is something that is considered to be ridiculously outdated. We are so used to getting whatever we want whenever we want. Instant gratification. When we have to wait for anything, we scheme and plot to find ways to get around whatever it is that's preventing us from having that thing right now. We'll borrow money, extend our credit, manipulate those around us. Whatever we can do so we don't have to wait. And we don't value gentleness either. We value spunk and action, when much of the time those attributes are simply revealing how selfish our hearts are. When we use those as an excuse to speak harshly, to force our own agenda, or to excuse rude or aggressive behavior, we're really saying, what you want or feel is irrelevant. Does that mean we should avoid speaking the truth to people? No, not at all. But remember, we are to speak the truth in love, not out of a sense of vindictive pleasure at getting our own way. Our lives need to show our calling. Our lives need to bring glory, not shame, to God's name. Paul isn't saying we need to be perfect here, but he's saying that our lives should show that we understand who it is we serve, and there should be evidence of his Spirit in our lives as we grow and mature in faith. There is only one body, ladies. Each church does not have a unique Jesus body. We are all to be working together. Now, having said that, working within the church that you attend to be unified with them first is obviously a huge goal. If within the building you worship God and the toes are fighting with the foot, well, y'all are going to trip. But we need to remember that the picture is bigger than that. We need to not be limbs that are arguing with a torso across town. Yes, we need to be careful to discern doctrinal issues and to approach those with love and kindness as we discern where the truth of God lies. But in the meantime, we need to exert the necessary efforts to determine where those true believers are at and encourage them not to grow weary in doing good. We have one God, one Savior, one faith, and one baptism. That is very clear in the Bible. There isn't a second or third or fourth option to heaven. It is through Christ alone that we receive eternal life. We need to stop listening to the world, which wants everyone to be right, and so it says, all paths to God. Ladies, that's a lie. That is Satan once again saying, did God really say? And we, like Eve, have to decide whether we are going to doubt God or trust him. Don't listen to the lies. Nowhere in the Bible, despite what popular fiction books might tell you, does it say that any old religion pleases God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, pick your own way and be good. Follow the tenets of whatever faith you pick and we'll see you in heaven. The Bible is very clear. One God, one Savior, Christ, one faith, one baptism. That's it. Throughout all these verses, the key to these is unity in God, who is over all and through all and in all. If you are not attending a church, can you be unified with the body? If you're not trying to find a group of believers to worship with, to be unified to learn and struggle with, to be encouraged by, can you say that you are truly following God's directions on this? If you are not attached to the body, you can't be your own body of Christ. I know that searching for a church home can be draining, totally physically exhausting and emotionally draining, but I also know that we are called to do it. We're called to worship with other believers. We're called to fellowship and unify with them. We are called to take our places in the body. Churches are made up of imperfect people, and people will let you down. As our pastor said one Sunday, we're just an accumulation of people that fail. And you could feel the congregation squirming in their seats as he said that. But he was referring to our church, to the church he pastors, and he's right, because we're people. We're human, and we fail. But do we keep trying? Or do we give up when we fail? Do we say, I'll worship God by myself because we've been hurt by others? That's not what God calls us to at all. Hebrews warns us not to neglect gathering together. We need to be with other believers. And yes, we need to find the place where we can worship and glorify God and where we feel that we can agree doctrinally with the church leadership. We will never find a perfect church. After all, I'm one of that accumulation of people that fail too. However, we should be seeking to find a body of believers whose main focus is Jesus and whose focus is on sharpening each other to be more like him every day. So there you go. Unity with the body. It's so important. If you're not currently attending a church, I urge you to make the effort. If you are attending, but you are the toe fighting with the foot, I urge you to find a balance to reconcile and be unified. If unification is not possible, then I urge you to go find another group of believers because you must be unified to glorify God. Today, as you go throughout your day, consider this thought. Are you working to further your agenda or his? Are you acting out of humility, gentleness, patience, and with a desire for unity among the body? Or are you acting out of pride, harshness, and impatience with a desire for individual rights trumping those of the body? We are called to be united, ladies, for his purpose, not your own glory. How are you doing that? What do your actions demonstrate that you truly are seeking? Unity or simply to be right and make everyone agree with you? You can find the notes to this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 8, the only call that matters.